welcome to a quick Conversations of Change podcast with Dr. Jen Fram. We have a change chat with one of the leaders in the change management field.
Good morning, everybody. It is Dr. Jen Fram, Conversations of Change, and in this week's Change Chat, I'm turning the tables and I'm going to be interviewing one of the most prolific change radio people out there, being Heather Stagel of Inclaria Company. So for those who have been following change management, social media, all the content that's out there, you will know Heather by being one of the, the very first in the field, and certainly one of the first people that I ever followed on social media and started listening to. The quality of Heather's output in posts and tweets and her radio shows are just superb. So if you're not across Heather's work, then you need to be now. But good afternoon, Heather. Thank you for joining us on the Change Chat.
Thanks for having me here, Jen. And it's nice to sometimes be on the other side of the podcast interview.
Yeah, we're turning the tables. Heather, can you share with the listeners how you first got into organizational change? Because I've heard the story before and I think it's a really, really interesting one.
Sure. Well, I started as an industrial engineer. That's my undergraduate degree. And, you know, that's all about process improvement and efficiencies, effectiveness, all those very mechanical things. And so then they throw you out into the world and say, you know, go change things, go improve things. And you realize fairly quickly that you can't just show someone all the equations and the math that you did and have them just do the new thing that you want them to do. I say, well, I've been doing this for 20 years, so what makes you the expert? And so I went back to the school. I got an MBA with a focus in leadership and change management and came back out. Well, not even came back out. I was working still at the time. So as I was learning, I actually had a chance to speak up and say, you know, I'm learning all these things that we could be doing differently. And I was lucky enough to have a boss and a CEO of the organization that I worked for who said, okay, you think you're so smart, go ahead and try. And so then I started working on things like building a more innovation culture, working with the executive team on developing strategy, and all kinds of projects like that. While I was still doing industrial engineering because they wouldn't let me let it go.
Yeah. So I think that was what I was fascinated by, that it was like you were wearing these two hats, and often that they would be quite contradictory hats and trying to make them work together.
Definitely. And in fact, when I first proposed to my boss that I would like to do more of the organization change work, he said, okay, but you still have to do the industrial engineering part. And the words he used were, if you're going to have one foot in the clouds, you still need to have one foot on the ground.
Yeah.
So that was the attitude of the company about the org change work, was that it was just, you know, sort of fluffy.
Yeah, fluffy, all that soft stuff. Yeah. It's interesting because I imagine that would give you some insight into the challenges we put on people in the organization accepting change, in that we ask them to be, for argument's sake, change champions and to be out there sharing about this, but still do their business as usual job. Or we want them to be a subject matter expert on project teams, but still do the business as usual role. What kind of insights did that give you to that kind of challenge?
Well, for me, when I was doing the engineering work, one of the things that occurred to me was that, you know, why do I have to be the expert on this? Because, you know, I was, because I had the degree, but again, all the people who were doing the work day in and day out were the ones who knew really what all the problems were. And so instead of taking on that role as expert, I decided, well, what if I change this into a more of an engagement strategy and start asking people, what are your issues? What are the problems that I can help you solve? And, you know, how can I have an approach where I help them solve their own problems.
Yeah, nice.
And so it's all in the approach, and you can still be the expert, but you can be an expert in something different.
There's room for many experts, right? Now, speaking of expertise, one of the areas that you have really carved out for yourself is the space of change resistance. Can you tell me, how do you define change resistance?
Sure. Well, the dictionary definition of resistance is any force that slows down or prevents motion. It's just a scientific term that you can find in physics and electricity and, you know, all kinds of things. And so we've sort of adopted that in change because it feels like resistance is any force that slows down or prevents change. But really, when it comes down to it, it's more like resistance means that other people aren't changing with the enthusiasm that I expect them to have. They're not engaged as much as I want them to be. Mm. And that's when we realize that people might be resisting change. So it's really in the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. That change resistance doesn't really happen unless we expect something different from what's happening.
Nice. So change your expectations.
Doing all the
things
that we call change resistance, we would think that it's a perfectly normal thing to do. But because we're the ones who are trying to implement change, it seems like people are resisting.
Yeah. So the flip side there is if we change our expectations of what will occur, we won't see resistance. But
yeah, I mean, it would at least feel different.
Yeah.
One of the reasons that we call things resistance is that we're frustrated.
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, you did a TEDx talk, which was very well received. What was the gist of that? How did that go down, and what kind of feedback did you get from it? What did people take from it?
Sure. Well, the title of the TED Talk was How to Deal with Resistance to Change. And, you know, the punchline, if you will, was that resistance is not something to overcome, it's something to uncover.
Mm-hmm.
So going along those lines, along the same line as, you know, it's something that we experience ourselves. It's, you know, we can't just wish people to change. They'll just dig in their heels even further. So we really need to understand what's behind that, what's causing them to do the things that we're calling resistance. And the feedback was good. Some of the things that I had in there that people resonated with were some of the things that people do to resist change, or that we call resistance, like mm-hmm. procrastination, or, you know, sometimes getting in your face, but more often than not, it's trying to avoid you.
Yeah. And I guess you've got a new book coming out, which remind me of the title of the new book.
It is the Influence Change at Work Toolkit.
Toolkit. Okay. And so obviously that's going to cover material in it around working with people who are perceiving, or you're perceiving as being resistant to change.
Yes, there's a whole section on resistance, and it goes further than the TED Talk. It goes deeper into what are some of the sources of resistance.
Yeah.
What are the reasons that people feel like they're digging in their heels when it comes to change?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way of really putting yourself in their shoes to understand what people might experience as they're going through the change, or what they are experiencing.
Yeah. How is your thinking? Let me start. I'm working on an assumption that since the TED Talk on resistance, your thinking about resistance has perhaps deepened or changed or gone in different paths. Is that the case? And where have you gone since the TED Talk in thinking about resistance?
The overall philosophy hasn't really changed. It's still mm-hmm. that idea of it's not something to overcome, it's something to uncover.
Mm-hmm.
And I dig into, in the toolkit, I dig into the 8 sources of resistance, and I can just list them
Yeah, do that.
Quickly, it'll give everybody a nugget of information. So one is valid concerns. Like, this is really just a bad idea, or it's going to affect me negatively. So I'm not going to like it. That's the most obvious. A lack of information, skills deficit, low motivation, no power. Like, they're not empowered to actually change, even though we think we've empowered them. Another one is fear, absence of trust. And the last one is scarce resources. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. And all those reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go through those and, you know, again, put yourself in their shoes and go through and say, which of these might be a possibility, can help you really have more empathy for what they're going through. And then you can come up with solutions to actually help them go through the change.
When you've used those eight reasons for change resistance with managers that you work with in your client base, are there any of those that stand out as ones that they really get straight away, or some that they're actually quite challenged by and they don't want to accept?
Well, I think the ones that they get quite a few right away, but the fear, I think that's sort of where people assume that resistance comes from. But the one that's hard for people to accept, especially leaders, is the no power one, because especially if someone that works for them feels like they're not empowered to change, then that's really on the leader. So it's a matter of looking in the mirror to see what are they doing that is disempowering people.
Yeah. So one of the prevailing views out there at the moment in the change world is that often that we shouldn't be focusing on change resistance at all, that we should be focusing on the positive or focusing on change readiness, and that when we focus on resistance, we're effectively blaming the employee for the lack of progress with the change, as opposed to putting it back onto the manager in terms of, well, how have you defined this change and how have you designed the change and how have you executed the change, and perhaps that's what's getting in the way of the success of it. What's your view on that view? Are you a subscriber to that, or
I can definitely see where people are coming from when they talk about let's focus on readiness and not on resistance. One reason that I still like to talk about resistance is because that's, as change practitioners, that's sort of where we come from. That's what we experience. And I feel like if we just focus on readiness and don't talk about the resistance that we are experiencing from other people, then we're sort of ignoring our own feelings. Mm-hmm. We have to acknowledge that we're frustrated with people. But then recognize, again, that it's not that it's something that they're doing on purpose to you. So I really think that resistance, looking at resistance, is a gateway to empathy.
If
we reframe midway, so that, so if we, again, look at what are those underlying sources, what are the reasons people seem to be resisting versus blaming people. So we're not trying to say, why are you doing this to me?
Yeah.
And instead, we're trying to understand it so that we can actually do something about it and help them.
Looking at resistance is a gateway to empathy. Mm-hmm. Do you have t-shirts with that printed on it?
TM.
I think you need to trademark that and get on to Redbubble or something and have that branded. That's a beautiful quote there. So on to the flip side, so some people talk about the readiness. Now, I know you've got a number of great tools around readiness, change readiness. What's your current thinking around what we should be doing with regards to change readiness?
Yeah, I have a free change readiness assessment on my website, inclarina.com, if anyone wanted to check that out. The readiness assessment, it focuses on four key areas, and It's really, are individuals ready for change? Is the organization ready for change? Is the project ready for change? And am I, as the change agent, ready for change? And so there's different elements for each of those four categories, and it can measure, it measures each of those four based on those different elements.
That's really clever, because we quite often deal with the individual readiness to change, thinking about the employee, and the organizational readiness to change, thinking about, you know, the bigger group. We don't often look at the project or the change agent. That's nice work. That's really clever. I like that. So I'll put a link to that, of course, to your website in the show notes on this, so that listeners, you'll be able to find that easily enough. I guess the final question I've got, Heather, that I'm really interested in is, as I said from the beginning, you have been tweeting since, what, 2007, 2008. You've been blogging prolifically. You've had your own radio show. You've been talking to experts all around the world about change. So you really were a pioneer in the use of social media in the organisational change space. What's your view on that landscape now? How, you know, it's 8 years on. What, how do you see that that whole social media landscape has played out in the change management space?
Interesting question. I I feel like I've made a lot of friends that way. Yeah. Even some who I've never even met in person, like yourself.
Yeah.
And so I think that's been helpful for us to sort of bond and challenge each other as well. Mm-hmm. I know you are in the process of writing a book, and so you know, you've been able to post out some chapters to get feedback, and so it's nice to have that community of people who we can sort of put stuff out there and get feedback on it, and either challenge us or also to encourage us.
Yeah. And I think, so then the parallels to social media, the use of social media in organizations, are you finding that many of the clients that you work with are using social media as a tool in their change efforts?
There are some starting to use things. I mean, some using like SharePoint or more knowledge management, but also I'm starting to see people experiment with things like Slack and tools like that for collaboration. But they're still sort of in the infancy of it, just sort of trying it out to see how it works for projects.
Yeah. Because I imagine you'd be able to pivot in the sense of all that, you know, you've got this expertise in social media and be working with your clients in terms of their use of social media and change with all those insights would be an interesting path for you there.
I'll have to consider that a little bit more.
So Heather, 2017, what's got you excited in the world of change management?
What's got me excited in the world of change management? I'm interested to see where the certification goes with CCMP, the Association of Change Management Professionals, and their certification. I've become a qualified education provider through them sort of early on, thinking that it would be good to align with that. Yep. And so I'm curious to see where that goes and where that takes us. And just in general, you know, seeing some of the merging of different fields like Agile and Lean and how that fits in with change. And we're still seeing more of that coming. So change has always been one of those fields where you can take things from different fields, other different fields, and sort of merge them together. And just, I've always found that if you just learn as much as possible about a lot of different things, you can start incorporating them into your work, like things like social media, right?
Yeah.
So that's always been my approach, is just see what's coming out that's new and see how we can incorporate that into our work.
Look, I couldn't. I think that's one of the things that where you and I have always aligned on is the importance of a learning mindset and, you know, keeping abreast of all the new stuff out there and particularly on a horizontal level. So not necessarily deep within our field, but what's happening on the peripherals and horizontally that we could incorporate in our change practice and make that better. Heather, this has been terrific. Thank you so much for your time today on the Change Chat. As I said, I'm going to cover off in the show notes. We'll have links to your readiness survey. We'll have a link to the website that's going to be talking about your new book. I'll also post the TEDx talk up there so people can catch up with that if they haven't seen it. But other than that, thank you so much for your time, Heather. Appreciate it.
Well, Jen, thanks so much for having me on the show.
Pleasure.
If you enjoyed this Change Chat, then do share with your colleagues and friends. You can find more at conversationsofchange.com.au, at Jen Fram on Twitter, or Conversations of Change on the Facebook.